President Clinton announced his decision to launch the cruise missile attack on Iraq this morning from the Oval Office. The president said he ordered the strike to send a message to Saddam Hussein. When you abuse your own people or threaten your neighbors, you must pay a price. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
The missiles were launched in broad daylight against targets in southern Iraq. A few hours later, the president announced the strike in the Oval Office. By the end of the day, he was explaining what he had done to an appreciative audience of National Guard members in Washington.
This morning, I ordered America's armed forces to strike Iraq, extending the no-fly zone and destroying Iraqi missile defenses in the south to make sure we could safely extend the no-fly zone.
The White House had several goals for the missile attack, and not all of them have been achieved. First was to maintain U.S. credibility, to show that the U.S. means what it says. That, White House officials say, has been accomplished. The administration also wanted to make it more difficult for Iraq to threaten its neighbors. Today, officials were boasting that they have clipped Saddam Hussein's wings by further restricting the movement of Iraqi airplanes and by destroying Iraqi air defenses. But the missile strike did not address the specific transgression that sparked the U.S. action, the Iraqi incursion into northern Iraq. In fact, Saddam Hussein was moving further into the area today, shelling Sulaymaniyah, another major Kurdish city. But the White House was limited in what it was able or willing to do. Some members of Congress called on the U.S. to forcibly evict Iraqi forces, in effect establishing a no-drive zone, prohibiting vehicles, not just airplanes, in the Kurdish area. But that would take ground troops to enforce, an option that was never seriously considered by the president. Although the White House does appear to have made Saddam Hussein pay a price, so far it seems to be one he is willing to pay. The question now is how far the U.S. is willing to go. President Clinton left his future plans ambiguous.
The present deployments and the things that we have seen in support of them have convinced me that at least he is maintaining the potential to take further military action in the region. That is the problem. You know, he said, well, we took our soldiers out of Erbil. That's true, but look where they are and look what they're doing. And the latest reports this morning are not encouraging. So again, I will say to you, let's look and see what he does. And that is, I think, what should drive our actions.
The White House was also limited by its failure to win widespread support of U.S. allies in Europe or the Middle East. White House Press Secretary Mike McCurry said that the U.S. structured the mission to take into account of the attitudes in the region. Instead of launching the strikes from Turkey or Saudi Arabia, for instance, the missiles were launched from B-52 bombers and Navy ships. The president explained the allies' reticence this way.
I think this was our responsibility at this time. I talked to quite a large number of our allies, and I am satisfied with their response. And I believe that we will be able to go forward with this mission. And I think others feel that at this time there may be, for their own domestic purposes, some limits on how much they can do.
Domestic politics in the U.S., the president's spokesman insists, played no part in the president's decision. But over the weekend, the president's opponent, Bob Dole, said the situation in northern Iraq was the result of weak leadership in the White House. This morning, Mr. Clinton ignored a question about Dole's criticism, but his advisers seem satisfied that the president's actions would speak for themselves as a defense against charges he was soft on Saddam. At the White House, I'm Mara Liasson.